This document may contain statements of future revelations related to Grupo Sura and its subsidiaries, which have been made under assumptions of the company's management and may present variations. Good morning, and thank you for joining us in the call of results of the first quarter of 2022, Grupo Sura. The event will be divided in two. We'll begin with a pre-recorded session showing the main results of the company, followed by a live Q&A session. Today, we're joined by Gonzalo Pérez, CEO of Grupo Sura, Ricardo Jaramillo, Business Development and Finance VP, Juan Luis Munera, Corporate Affairs VP, and from our subsidiaries, we have Juan Fernando Uribe, Finance and Investments VP of Suramericana, and Carlos Oquendo, Corporate Finance VP of Sura Asset Management. Gonzalo, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Carlos, and to all of you, again, our thanks for joining us in this call of results of Grupo Sura for the first quarter of 2022. We should begin by saying that Grupo Sura is obtaining the highest net profit in the history of the company in these last 12 months, mainly really due to the trust that the persons and the companies have in the products and services and solutions of the companies in which we make investments. The last 12 months indeed have income or revenue of 26 trillion pesos, and with the net profit, as we said, is historical. In these 12 months, we've seen that as of 2015, there's an annual growth aggregate that reaches 14.3%, and it shows that we are reaching that sustainable profitability with a return above the economic capital. Sustainable profitability, as we have mentioned in our previous calls, is our goal, and that's sustainability before having a return above the capital cost that we've mentioned. Also seeks other capitals, social capital, natural capital, and human capital. And that's how we will reach sustainability that Grupo Sura, which is clearly for everyone the main goal of the company. On the other hand, in this quarter, we're reaching 6.9 trillion in the company's revenue, up 25.1% compared to the year before, the first quarter of the year before. And we reached a net profit of the company, of the holding, 429 billion pesos in the quarter, and in the last 12 months of 1.64 trillion pesos. That's the path. These are the results that are above expectations and that we've been sharing in the past calls of results. Here we start to see the ROE that we've been seeking, and we're reaching an ROE in the last 12 months of 55% return over capital. As you can see in the graphs, you can constantly see that increase of total revenue. We'd like to highlight a lot total revenue. We've mentioned this in several times. While people and companies start to prefer our products, solutions and services of our subsidiaries, we'll always have a business in which we can work and we'll have an opportunity to grow. And we'll have a critical mass that shows us the returns and efficiencies. So the main goal here is the acceptance of people and companies for the products of our companies. I think that here there's a topic that we should underscore in the results of the last 2 years, really, with the pandemic over the companies in which we invest. Along with this performance, we've also been able to have dividends that are above those that we obtained in the pre-COVID stage. Also, here we're reaching record highs. A record of 1.1 trillion in dividends, which have allowed us to have an approval from the assembly of a 30% increase of dividends for all of our shareholders, which means a higher remuneration for them. And we've been clear that our clients are our shareholders and investors, and we must remunerate these clients and investors. That 1.1 trillion even is affected because in the last quarter of the year before, this is affected by dividends that we had in 2020, by the results of 2020 of the companies. Today, if we standardize those dividends as of April, we're talking about 1.3 trillion of revenue for the company in dividends, which also allow us to continue our path of deleveraging. We'll have a cash flow above 250 billion pesos this year. And this item, as I've mentioned, will allow us to continue the deleveraging path, but also in necessary cases to make new investments for the company. Lastly, before I give the floor to Ricardo Aramillo, we'd like to mention that we're going to continue talking in each of our results of other capitals. Sustainability really is something that we only achieve if we balance the capitals that we mentioned initially, economic, also social, and human capital. Today, we'd like to provide you some guidelines of what we're doing with regards to natural capital. First, the climate risk management, which has undoubtedly been prevalent in managing the capitals overall. And when we talk about natural capital, this company first focuses on climate change management, which in the companies that we have apparently isn't very relevant. But since we're companies of investments, of reserves, we can have their very important management, and there's an indicator that we're going to continue seeking. There you can see the indicator of how many premiums we're receiving for managing climate change, meaning responding to improve our carbon footprint. Also, we have investments. There we're seeking criteria to baselines that will allow us month after month, year after year, to overcome or exceed the commitment that we have with natural capital. On the other hand, recently we approved a sustainable investment policy according to the best practices that we have been using day to day. And there we present ASG risks, seeking which are the most critical and how we can, how more relevantly, even more than just exposing or presenting goals, but really managing each of our corporations and investments to manage these critical risks, to be very active with this natural capital. We have huge challenges, yes. Firstly, to measure the carbon footprint of this financing. Here we're looking baselines. Now, this is gradual because of the portfolios of the company, because at Suda Asset Management and in Sudamericana, with the premiums and their revenue received, it's not right away that we can really seek how to improve the decarbonization of our portfolios. But we do see criteria and baselines to know that we are making progress and that we are constantly referencing with the best practices of the market so that together we can reach a better planet for mankind and obviously the company's sustainability. So the management of all the capitals is part of our strategic goal. You are well aware that we have as our first goal profitability above capital costs. Our second clear objective that's concurrent is how to create our harmonic value for society, and to do so we have to be inclusive in our with our four capitals. The truth, thanks so much for the trust that you still have in this company. That trust is seen in the results, and the results drive us to think that we're in the 2022, and surely it will be much better than what we have been expecting. And here we will be meeting our profitability above the capital cost. Thank you. And now let's give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, our Business Development and Investments VP. Thank you, Gonzalo, and greetings to all of you that join us today. I invite you to first look at the consolidated income statement of Grupo Sura. And here we'd like to highlight that the net profit had a significant recovery in the company, mainly due to two things. One, the good recovery of Suramericana, and second, the equity method that comes from investments that are related, specifically Bancolombia and Nutresa, which provided good results this quarter. Now let's look at the operating revenue. Those of the company in the first quarter consolidated reached 6.9 trillion pesos, meaning 1.4 billion more than in the first quarter of 2021. This is up 25% and ratifies the sound dynamics of growth we've had in prior quarters. When we look at the main lines of revenue, we can see that good dynamics. First, premiums issued, which is the insurance business, up 21%. As far as revenue from commissions, the quarter was not that good. We grew 2%, and we'll explain this when we look at Sura Asset Management ahead. We had some impact of revenue from investments. We have to separate in Suramericana, where we have invested reserves and the reserves of Sura AM. And I'll give you details of both companies with an impact of 251 billion negative compared to the first quarter of the year before. And in the equity method that we've mentioned, which grew 127%, reaching at 543 billion pesos, a record high in numbers of Grupo Sura in this item. Moving on to expenses and operating costs, these costs grew 22%. And here we'd like to highlight the difference between the growth of revenue and of costs, which we've been seeing in an ongoing trend in the last quarters and shows us a recovery in the company's margin. And those expenses and costs must be separated. First, we have claims ratio, which has an important growth, up 25%. That claims ratio will be seen in detail, which is basically explained by the reduction to claims ratio related to COVID, which shows better results in Suramericana. However, we do have an increase, especially in the solution of mobility or cars, in which the restrictions of the logistics chains, we see an inflation of spare parts of cars, which has an impact. When we look at operating expenses, these grew 18%. And we have to explain that part of those expenses are related to the business per se, the insurance business, which is growing 21% premiums. And there are expenses that are necessarily variable and are growing related to that number. And it's also important to say that we have a process of having very controlled expenses, and we have to start again to make investments in businesses and in technology. And that's why we have that 18% growth in those expenses. So the net operating profit reached 771 billion pesos, up 54%. The financial result had impact because of the exchange difference, especially the position of liquidity of dollars that we have in Sura Asset Management in Chile. So there we have an exchange difference that has an impact, but we do believe that it's more accounting effect than on a long-term basis. And all this to end with a net profit, as I said before, of 442 billion pesos and a net profit of the holding of 429 billion, up 121%, which can be seen with this positive trend that we've shown in the profits in the last quarters on the right-hand side lower graph. Now let's look at the next section, which is Suramericana. Here we'd like to make a change, the information, and we basically want to look at the companies. And at the end, we have a sum of full parts of Grupo Sura and understand the result that we showed of our profit. So let's move to Suramericana. Here we could summarize this with the good commercial dynamics and premiums. Claims ratio is received at that's maintained with similar levels of pre-COVID, but increased by cars and expenses that are a bit higher than those in terms of growth because of the delay of investments and financial yields, which, because it's a portfolio mainly focused in Colombia, has a positive dynamics because of interest rates and inflation. So that's a big summary of Suramericana, which ends up with a profit of 104 billion pesos. So now let's look at closer at the consolidated income statement. Here we talk about in premiums issued of 5.5 trillion, meaning practically 1 billion more than the first quarter of the year before, up 21%, which is reflected with premiums retained of 4.9 trillion and a growth of 23%. Let's look at claims ratio. This reached 3.5 trillion pesos, up 25%. We can see on the higher right graph the claims ratio curve and its performance in the past quarters, which is reaching 71.6. That claims ratio is impacted by, first, the reduction in the claims ratio because of COVID. With COVID, we had 164 billion. However, this is 61% less than in the first quarter of 21 and 11% less than in the fourth quarter of 21. This claims ratio, because of COVID, represents approximately 3.3 of the total claims ratio of the company, which sometimes at the peak of the pandemic was even 10 or higher. So here we can see a reduction, which has been, let's say in this case, negatively compensated because of the increase in the solution of mobility, both because of the severity of the losses as well as the frequency. And when it comes to severity, this is connected, obviously, to what we've mentioned also in previous calls, because restrictions and logistics and has a direct impact on the cost of spare parts. And this is reflected on the claims ratio of Suramericana. But we have to say that there is a positive reaction related to an adjustment and an update of rates that compensate that claims ratio. With regards to operating expenses, these show a growth of 13%, reaching 738 billion pesos. And behind that 13%, there are two things. First, we're comparing an expense of the first quarter of this year with an expense of the first quarter of 21 that had a reserve that we had to make in December 2020 for topics related to the pandemic that were not manifested with the same critical level that's projected. So it allowed the first quarter of 21 to return that reserve. So we're comparing one quarter with another quarter reduced in terms of that provision. And on the other hand, we have an investment in technology, because it's important for the company to have the business development close to 19 billion pesos. So with this, we reach an industrial result, negative 330 billion pesos, up, however, of the 34%. It's necessary then to look at the component of revenue from investments, which we mentioned initially, which reached 376 billion pesos, which can be seen in the graph lower right. And we see how from the very first quarter of 21, the yield, accumulated yield, or annualized of that portfolio has been increased in line with the increase of the inflation and interest rates. And it's reaching now a level close to 9.5%, which allow us then to reach a profit before taxes of 131 billion in Suramericana and a net profit of 104 billion pesos with a positive variation, understanding that the first quarter of the year before the company had a negative profit. Let's move on to segments, to each of the segments, and I invite you to the next slide to look at the segment of life. The segment of life continues growing with premiums. We see a growth in the quarter of 16.7%, reaching 1.6 trillion in premiums, mainly driven by the solutions of health, which we can see it's growing about 22%, mainly in Colombia, El Salvador, and Chile. and the professional risk segment, which is growing 18%, reaching 4.2 million members. So this shows the good commercial dynamics that we have there. But when we look at the retained losses, there we can see an increase of 76 billion pesos. However, on the line where we can see on the higher graph of annualized claims ratio in the last 12 months, we see a reduction. And now we move from 65, and now it's lower, as I mentioned, because of the lower claims ratio related to COVID. On the very bottom, we see administrative expenses of net commissions, which have had a small increase because of the more investments in technologies. And particularly when it comes to commissions, it's related to the blends of channels. But these are healthy levels. And along with revenue from investments, we have a growth of 101 billion in net profit. Retaking this segment, which you know is quite important for the company and its path to return to positive profit levels. In this case, we're ending the quarter with a profit of 148 billion pesos. Let's move to slide 13 and talk about the segment of casualty. This segment keeps a good growth in premiums. We can see a growth close to up to 16%, reaching 2.2 billion in premiums, and it's driven mainly because of the solutions related to mobility. I mean, cars, both in the mandatory, which is SOAT, which is growing 31%, as the voluntary, which is the solutions, traditional car solution, 30%. This is because of the rate update and the volume and growth of cars in the region. When we look at losses on the upper right hand side of the page, you can see increases in claims ratio close to 184 billion versus the first quarter of the year before. And this has to do because of the increase to cars related to the supply chain. However, this shows a claims ratio of 55%, which for the entire segment is not a bad level. However, when we look especially at the claims ratio of cars, we see about 71% versus a level of normality, which should be at 60, meaning that when we end to update the rate, which normally is something that could take a year, we expect little by little to go back to those levels related to 60% in claims ratio. With these premiums, we're reaching a combined reason which is growing at decreasing a little from 108% to 109.5%, and you can see that's practically the same number in absolute value. It's also important to underscore as that this segment is collecting here impacts from COVID in Mexico, Panama, and Brazil. These impacts are close to 14 billion pesos as how these companies are accounted within the company's accounting process. So you could add it to the profit of 14 billion to understand exactly the segment and its profit recovery. On slide 14, you can see closely the health segment. And here I'd like to initially remind you it consists of the EPS, IPS, and diagnostic aids. Why is this important? Because we're growing a lot with the EPS and diagnostic aids. And the IPS, because of the reduction of COVID cases, has had a decrease. So how do you see this in figures? First, you see premiums issued significantly growing, said 27%, reaching 2.1 trillion in the quarter, and it's 452 billion pesos more premiums, very driven again because of the BES, which we see the members in the quarter reached, the new members in the quarter reached 360,000, meaning 5.1 million clients insured. When we look at the claims ratio. On the upper right-hand side of the graph, you see that the claims ratio grew 29%, meaning 442 billion pesos. Here you can see that the figure is very similar in terms of the increase of premiums and claims last year. And this is reflected because of the operating expenses that keep the same expense versus revenue ratio, and also the net profit, which here is seen negative, but again, it has that impact because with the diagnostic aids and the IPS had a positive result during the pandemic because the activity that they had to support the entire customer service process. On slide 15, I invite you to look at a summary of Suramericana from the viewpoint of profit. On the very top, you can see the progress of the company's profit in the last 8 quarters. Here you can see it had very difficult quarters in terms of profit because of the pandemic, but also in the last 2 quarters, we see a recovery, which now shows us 104 billion. When it comes to the variation of different segments, we see also something that shows that we're coming from the first quarter of minus 11 in 2021. We talk about a recovery of life, a positive contribution of casualty of 24 billion, impact of interest paid because of the debt, because of the increased interest rate, which allows us to reach the 104 billion that we mentioned. When we compare these results with the projections that we've made in the prior calls, we see that the growth is even above the growth that we've talked about for the company, for the premiums, and that the claims ratio is a bit higher. It's mainly because of the cars that I explained, and that we are in the process of increasing the ROE to reach normal levels to create value. Right now, we have an adjusted ROE close to 4.3%, a tangible ROE close to 5.5%, which again, we hope that rises to the projection levels that we talked about in prior calls. Now let's move to the section of Sura Asset Management. To understand these results, I think it's important to separate this in two: the operative component and one related to the impact that there are macroeconomic variables and the yields of international markets. In the operations, we see a decrease in the savings business for the very expected because of Mexico, which has been compensated with a major effort made in operation expenses. When it comes to international markets, we have an impact on the reserve, and because of the exchange difference and a position in dollars that we see in Chile and a revaluation close to 7% in the Chilean pesos. So really the bottom line is here we see that company is showing a loss of 47 billion pesos. So let's begin with revenue. Revenue from commissions shows a decrease of 2%, and that's separated in two items: savings for retirement, which decreased 3%, and it's mainly driven by Mexico that I told you, and the voluntary business. Both Inversiones Sura and Inversiones Management has a positive growth, not as much as in prior quarters, up 6.2%. When it comes to revenues from reserves, we see a reduction of 100 billion pesos or a loss in the quarter of 81 billion related, again, because of the impact of international markets, which also had an impact in the equity method, which comes from Protecciones, which had an impact on the reserve of protection and because of the reserve made for the provisional insurance, which we need to make. So with this, we end with operating revenue in the quarter close to 528 billion pesos, down 20%, which has been mitigated in a certain way by the control of expenses, which grew 4%, but in local currency is practically growing zero, and reaches an operating profit of 97 billion and a net profit, which after the financial result and with the exchange difference impact reaches a negative 400 $47 billion. In the graphs, you can see the evolution of revenue from commissions and how at the end there's an impact because of the Mexico case. However, I'd like to highlight here how the revenue from the voluntary business, Inversionista and Investment Management, had been consistently gaining share in the mix of revenue from commissions, which has been the strategy we've had to build that voluntary business. On the other hand, on the bottom, we see EBITDA, which clearly is affected by the reduction of the commission in Mexico. And there you can see the EBITDA on the blue line with a line that shows the EBITDA without reserve to see it more normalized, reaching a level of 252 billion pesos. Slide 18, here you can see the business of savings for retirement. And it's important to highlight how the main business of the company had an impact because of operating topics, because of the international markets related to reserve and the exchange difference related to Chile. AUMs of this segment grew 1.5%. And this is important to mention because we reached the growth, even keeping in mind that with the retirements of Chile and Peru of about 7 trillion pesos, we could keep a growth that was positive. When we look at revenue from commissions, here you can see two colors, which are separated in the countries where we charge per flow and those per AUMs, which is basically Mexico, and a percentage in Peru. But it's mainly Mexico, and there you can see the decrease, which of 3% of an all separated in a decrease of 17.6% for what we charge in AUMs, Mexico, and a positive growth of 10.4% in other countries, very driven because of a salary base that comes with the economic recovery of the different countries and with the inflation levels that we see in the region. Operating expenses as a percentage of revenue because of the reduction has been increasing a bit. However, I'd like to highlight that when we see the pure percentage of growth of 3.8%, which again, we see it in local currency, it's practically in zero. And the net profit of the segment is dropping from 213 billion to 101 billion pesos. Slide 19 shows us details related to the business of Inversionista and Investment Management. Everything has to do with the voluntary component. So here we see the enhancement of the value offer. We developed the products understanding the needs of the clients. Right now, for instance, we're looking towards lower risk products that can bring lower commissions, and that can be included in the numbers of the segment. However, AUMs are doing well, growing 4.9%, reaching 75.4 trillion in the segment. And we'd like to highlight also show on the net flow graphic that we had in the quarter that despite the volatility and in the international markets with the Ukraine war, we have a positive net flow in the quarter growing 79 billion pesos. On the bottom, we see revenue from commissions and how these are related to these two segments and reached 100 billion pesos in the quarter, which we think is a very important figure that's reflected in the operating profit, which shows some recovery versus previous quarters. And it's similar to the operating profit of the first quarter of 21. We already reached 2 million clients in this segment, which for us is a very important achievement in this voluntary business development process. Let's look at slide 20, which shows us what we talked about, the impacts on the net profit of Suda Asset Management in this first quarter. On the top, you can see how the company had a loss of 47 billion pesos, which is understood much better when we look at the lower graph, which shows a comparison in the first quarter of 21 with a profit of 116 billion pesos. The first component related to the operation that shows the decrease of commissions, mainly related because of reduction of fee, which is in line with the projection that we saw with a decrease in the year of commissions between 2 and 5%. On the other hand, there's an effect on the reserve, which is significant, a negative 98 billion pesos, which is dropping considerably the profit, showing the reserve that you can see on the reserve line that you saw on Sura Asset Management and in Protección. And we also have the impact that we mentioned, difference of exchange, because of the liquidity in dollars that we have in Chile of 62 billion pesos to reach that 47 that we meant 47 that we mentioned. Meaning, without keeping in mind those two impacts, volatility of capital markets and the revaluation of Chile pesos, practically would be at the same operating profit level of the first quarter of the year before. Let's look at the last section of the presentation where we see Grupo Sura consolidated, understanding that we saw Suramericana and Sura Asset Management. So now let's look at the equity method that comes from these. Which shows, and let's look at slide 22, where we see a very positive growth of the fourth quarter of 2020, first of 21, and how it begins to grow to a level that now is at 543 billion pesos, up 126%, which we think it's important to explain in this table. First, Bancolombia contributes 424 billion pesos of those 543, up 219%. Mainly because of the good results that the bank has given, understanding that there's a good growth of accounts receivable, a growth of the margin also of net interest, a controlled credit cost, which allows the bank to go towards the projected profitability level in the market. Grupo Argos, we see a growth of 112%, contributing 16 billion pesos. Grupo Nutresa has a growth of 29%, contributing 105 billion in our equity method. And lastly, Protección, which has a decrease of 32 billion pesos, mainly because of two things. First, the reserve that I mentioned in the section of Sura Asset Management. And second, because of provision of the provisional insurance that was also manifested before, and that because of the macroeconomic variables, especially inflation, has had a significant variation this quarter. So, with this, we end the equity method again with the growth versus the first quarter of 21 of 126%. Lastly, let's look at slide 23, which shows the variation of the profit of Grupo Sura and how each one of the parties has contributed to that growth of 230 billion versus the first quarter of 21. We begin the first quarter of 21 with a profit close to 211. Suramericana provides 115 billion with that in that variation, which is aligned with the company's recovery. Sura Asset Management is subtracting 162 again because of factors that do not have to do with the business operations. We're adding 325 billion because of the equity method. And components related to Grupo Sura, we are subtracting 48 billion million pesos because of the administration expenses and interest related to the increase of interest rates, one. And the item of others, we have an impact because of several valuations made of companies of Sura Ventures, which right now are listed and have some volatility because of volatility of international markets. So to reach that profit that we mentioned of 442 billion pesos in the quarter, which when we look at 12 months before, gives us our ROE adjusted in Grupo Sura close or above 9%, which is in line with the projections that we have for this year. So with this, we end the presentation, and now we begin our Q&A session. Thank you. Good morning. We will begin the live Q&A session. We'd like to remind you that you can write down your questions through the platform. So let's begin. Initially, Stephanie asked, good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I'd like to understand the investments regarding the reserves of Sud Asset Management of Life of Sudamericana because of the performance of the reserve. Okay, Stephanie, look. The reserve essentially is divided into fixed income 50%, variable income 35%, alternatives 10%, and 5% in others, especially cash. When we look through currencies or regions, about 37% is overseas, and the remaining percentage is local. However, we have to say that this depends on the possibilities given by each of the regulators. And as we've seen in different countries, there are different funds that allow this, these investments. So what do we see? We're trying, especially what the regulation allows us in each country, to increase investments in alternatives. In the past 6 months, about $1 billion have been made in alternative investments to compensate the increased rates, interest rates, and the impact that this has on fixed income. On the other hand, it's worth underlining that Sud Asset Management, both in Mexico and in Chile, Peru, and Colombia, especially in Peru and Colombia and Chile, in the past 12 months is creating alpha. In Chile, with the Fondo C, which is the largest fund in Peru, with the three funds creating alpha above the competition. In Colombia, in four of the six funds of the AFPs and in Severus Payments, and in Mexico, where we've been a bit more complicated. However, for the past year, we had a recognition of Morningstar with a platinum or silver rating with the best performance. Our viewpoint of the funds is long-term, so we're trying to do everything on a long-term basis. Obviously, these are situations that we've seen in the past. The yields of the funds is still good, or very good, but obviously, this particular situation, the reserve that we have represented in the same proportion legally in the funds that we're managing has suffered with the movements of the market. Also, you were asking about what's happened in April and May. We have seen the impairment of our investments in the months and in April so far of May. However, the trend has been similar despite the change of the performance of the currency, which has implied a positive effect for Sud Asset Management, but specifically for the reserve. April and May have continued a negative trend because of the movements of the market. Perfect. With regards to Sudamericana, I'd like to give you a context. The total portfolio of the company as of March is $4.4 billion. Of that total portfolio, we have in Colombia 77%. And of that 77%, life represents is $2.26 billion. That's our largest portfolio. This portfolio, for a long time, we've been managing with assets and liability management, understanding the company's liability, which is mainly indexed to inflation. Therefore, we seek papers that meet that minimum investment that we have to guarantee. And by doing so, with the amortized cost, we manage to have the paper until it matures and avoid short-term volatilities because we want to preserve the asset to cover the liability. This represents today's 75% of the life portfolio, which is indexed like this. And again, it gives us a very good stability within the company's results. When it comes to the daily business, we need, with the new resources that we receive in the company, we are looking for better rates, which is what gives us a better support ahead. Our expectations in the future is to continue with the strategy. It's very important to understand that the liability, since it goes hand in hand with inflation, it's reevaluating. So we have to cover this position with the asset. That's the position that we have in Suramericana. Perfect. Daniel Guardiola is asking, in Sura Asset Management, in the quarter, the commissions in Mexico dropped 57 basic points. What does this impact have in the ROE you have in this country? And what are you doing to compensate for better revenues? Look, the calculations that we have, the ROE, regarding the reduction of FIS, shows us a ROE in numbers of about 23% to 16-17%. Since in Mexico we charge over AUM, we have to understand the market, how the AUMs have been growing. There are several initiatives when it comes to operating expenses. For several years, we've been working for more efficiencies, but specifically after the reform, with the chance, with the expenses for acquisitions, we seek efficiencies. And the regulator wants to find lower commercial dynamics. In October, November last year, we had 2,000 commercial advisors, and we hope to end 2022 with 500 commercial advisors. However, we're also waiting to end with $1 million more with the Afores business and contributions made by the system to the companies that have the best services and yields, which this year for Afores Sure will be $500 million of funds related or assigned, which were not assigned at all. So on that side, we also expect to compensate that decrease of their ROE. And we hope as of next year, with the contribution of which are moving from 6.5 to 15% in a transition period that the private sector will assume, we will manage to have an ROE of the afforded that will recover to levels pre-reform and pre-lower fee. Even, Carlos, it's important to understand that more than to recover them, to keep the efficiency that we're seeking with all of the affordances of Sura Asset Management, keeping that higher efficiency to multiply our revenue, for instance, in Mexico, 2.5-fold with a lower margins, yes, but in terms of consolidated figures, undoubtedly, that ROE will be better. So that efficiency in the future multiplied by 2.5 the revenue, which is related to the reform in Mexico, will be significant for Sura Asset Management. And there was a question also on the future. Well, those efficiency levels will be important to maintain the margins and returns above the capital cost that we seek. Daniel Guardiola is also asking about the main regulatory asks that we have in the mandatory segments in every country. Let me begin.
Sure.
Look, we are watching out carefully what's happening in Chile. There are different interpretations of what was really settled in that text. But also, everybody's talking about an additional reform that will be in the Constitution. And for that, the government has begun public discussions in which the fundamental topic and most accepted by citizens is that the savings by pension funds are of citizens. And based on this, the discussions were begun with the people. So we're carefully seeing what are the results of those discussions. Remember, in this business, we look at things on a long-term basis. And when it comes to the pensions and the well-being, won't change really. In Peru, we are watching out a new retirement. We hope to see the impact that this will have on the AUMs we should give to this the savings. But in Peru, we only charge 12% of the interest comes from AUM, so we don't expect an impact on revenue this year, but we are keeping a good eye on a possible additional reform there. On a short-term basis, we don't see one because of but there is political uncertainty there. And in Colombia, we're also keeping an eye on what will happen with the elections. There are different positions within the programs of each candidate. And what's mentioned the most is the chance that the pillar or the lower salaries will be managed by Colpensiones, leaving the AFPs with a niche of workers with a higher salary, 3 or 4 minimum wages. So we're keeping a good eye, a close eye on these reforms and how the AFP companies would develop. That's an overall. Gonzalo, would you like to add something? Oh, in Mexico, we're feeling the impact of the lower commissions, although there is an increase of the percentage of the contributions made by employers and employees, and that has helped us compensate. Sorry, Carlos. The question is very valid. Firstly, we are a long-term company. We've been 75 years in operation, and clearly, we have to be technically in line with our surroundings. We want to be valid spokespersons with any government based on knowledge. I think with 30 years of experience handling, managing these assets and knowing the populations, the mathematics behind this, and the financial exercise, I think we have the knowledge that will create value for any government. And the idea is to talk with governments to seek the best for the population. And as Carlos said, to begin to play as asset managers and pension managers a major role. But also, you know better than us, knowing that we have infinite opportunities, as Carlos mentioned, but we'd want to highlight them. We have an active population, economically active population. Today is negative, but while we formalize the economy. It's a population that will grow, and in that sense shows more sustainability for the system, and clearly an exercise of efficiency sought in every operation. And given the efficiency plus economically active populations and more formality, I think we are a clear solution to the retirement programs that Latin America needs. So I think that our knowledge will be the base for our conversations with different governments. I'd like to add, with regards to Mexico and the previous question and the reserve, how it's located. Indeed, the reform has reduced the reserve for the companies, and what the regulator has said is that it would go from 45.50 to 0.40. So we will have a reserve that will set in that range. Daniel Guardiola has another question. When it comes to the consolidated Grupo Sura, you talked about 9.6% adjustment. Could you tell us about more of the reconciliation there? Good morning, Daniel. Thank you for your question. Firstly, since 2018, we determined a methodology to look at the profitability of the company and how in the future that path would progress. And back then, we made several adjustments that would help us to give a more precise show of the profitabilities of each asset that we had. And beyond that, the sum of parts of Grupo Sura, there are four effects. First, we see or we use a reserve that's normalized. Why? Because you've seen throughout this presentation, the reserve is volatile in our results. So really at the bottom line, we have a long-term portfolio. So we use a normalized reserve for that calculation. Second, when it comes to the migration to IFRS, the investment in associates, Bancolombia, Nutresa, and Grupo Argos, was accounted at the market value. This means that in our books, the values of those associate companies, when the ROE of Bancolombia is measured compared with the accounting ROE, if we didn't make the adjustment, it would be very close to the market value. So what we do is to place it more comparable, like for instance, with the bank's example. So that's when it comes to the valuations when we go towards IFRS. Third, we are guaranteeing that both the net profit and the invested equity in the companies related to our cross-structure ownership, we look at the industrial results, the profit and the profitability. And fourth, given the expansion that we had in the last decade, we are returning the impact because of amortizations, because we have the capital invested, but we are returning the amortization to understand each business and what they provide. So, Daniel, we use those four items to reach this number, which again, you can have different positions and we respect that. What we're saying is that we think that what's important is to understand on the same baseline the long-term trend, uptrend. So that's the answer to that 9.6, which we can look closer if you want to look at specific figures. There are two questions related to the preferential stocks. Fernando Mendoza is asking, thank you. What is the equity value of the preferential shares? And Joan Cardenas asks about the process of the purchase of the company. Thank you both for your questions. Grupo Sura right now has 465 million common shares. So we're talking about 578 million shares. And if you make a division, the equity value is 15.5 50,000 pesos per share. With regards to the reacquisition of shares process, in past months, given the takeover bid, we have stopped this process. When it comes to the reacquisition, my colleagues can compliment me. It's a significant tool for all companies. We have today the amount approved still, and we have to see if it's convenient or not to keep using that tool, which again, we have it there well used. Right now, what I can say is that since the last reacquisition, which was before this takeover bid since November, we have not continued the stocks reacquisition process. Julian is asking, what is your expectation regarding the possible effects of the increased interest rates for indebtedness of the companies? There I would begin by saying, first we have to understand that the financial business of Grupo Sura have a natural coverage. There is a component of the revenue that increased with inflation and cost that also increased with inflation. Second, you have to look at the four companies, Grupo Sura, Sura Americana, Sura Asset Management, and Bancolombia, and to understand how the asset operates and the liability operates there. And it's better to understand the total impact. When we look at Grupo Sura, mainly it has a direct effect related to indebtedness to the liability. Now we have a debt of 4.3 billion, of which 2.2 are in pesos and related to rates that have an influence because of the increased inflation or interest rates, meaning that for every 100 basic points, we can have an impact of 20,000 or 25,000 million pesos. That's Grupo Sura, which again, when it comes to revenue and its assets, since the companies have businesses that also move with inflation interest rate, you can look at the natural coverage there. That's with Grupo Sura. When we look quickly at the other companies, and there I'd like to give the floor to Juan and Carlos. Suramericana, as Juan said before, has a favorable wind behind it with regards to interest rates because there's more maneuverability of the rate and better reinvestment rates that we see in the results of this quarter. Sura Asset Management has some volatility related to rate variation because of the reserve, but it's more accounting. But we have to keep in mind about Colombia because the bank is sensitive, or banks in general are sensitive to increased rates. And we've seen an increase in the interest, in the margin of rates that can be reflected in the bank. So to understand your question, you have to open each component and within each to understand expenses and debts and liabilities and assets. For our indebtedness, we have $850 million of debt covered and the rate of 2014 and 2017 in fixed rates. The biggest effect is not because of the rates, but because of the devaluation of the currencies, which specifically have increased in dollars. But when you look at the overall cash flow, that devaluation is quite positive, and you give more pesos to corporate, to Bancolombia, although here we pay dividends in pesos, taxes in pesos, and that devaluation of the Colombian pesos, which ends up being the most devaluated currency at the end, has a positive effect in Colombian pesos. On our side, it's very simple. We have in our debt that's indexed to inflation. Obviously, this year we've had more interest indexed but it's in pesos, and it has to do with Suramericana's dividends that receives from subsidiaries in Colombia. Here we talk about 850 million pesos, and because of every 100 basic points, we're talking about 80,000 additional basic points. Daniel Guardiola is also asking, a shareholder requested a special shareholders meeting. What happened with that? Thank you for your question, Daniel. Indeed, two special shareholders were requested by DGP Holding SAS and another shareholder, and later we received letters to remove those requests. Joe Cardenas asks, of the 442 billion of net profit of the quarter, what percentage is cash? Thank you, John, for your question. I think it's important to understand or to revisit how we account Grupo Sura. Those 442 are consolidated. And in that consolidated, we have to understand that what we're reflecting is what's happening in each business, what's happening in Suramericana, in Sura Asset Management, and in the three subsidiaries, which come from equity method, depending on the percentage of the share that we have in them. If you look at the cash of the holding specifically, I think it's more efficient to look at the cash flow. And that's where Gonzalo explained in his introduction. And I'll look at this not only in this quarter, but for the entire year. We expect revenue from dividends of 1.1 trillion, which is decreed in the assembly. So it's a certain number. We have expenses of 138 billion, which are expenses of operations and taxes. We have expenses of interest of 417 billion and a payment of dividends of 428 billion pesos. With those uses and understanding the revenue of 1.1 trillion, we see that by the end of the year, we'll have 150 billion pesos of cash generated in Grupo Sura, which along with plus the initial cash shows us the available cash we have to decrease the debt or to make investments. We look at this very generally, the use of Grupo Sura are service of the debt, dividends for shareholders, and to prepay a debt or investments. And here it's important to look at the phases of the company. The company has gone through an important expansion phase with a debt of 4.3 billion. We are in a process in which fast with these deleveraging process, we can start to increase the percentage related or paid of dividends to our shareholders. And eventually, we can start to think of new investments, looking that capital assignment phase. Okay, with this, we end our Q&A session. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope to see you in the next call of the second quarter. Thank you again to all of you. We hope to see you in the next call, as Carlos said. And our hope is that month by month, we can provide you very good news about the company's growth and its profits, and obviously the management of our four capitals. Thank you so much for your trust.